If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 381. This is our 2026 WM Phoenix Open and Qatar Masters Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where we have our in-depth betting previews for both Phoenix and Qatar. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have TPC Scottsdale and Doha Golf Club strokes gained rankings, detailed course form, player form and combi sheets for both events, plus new and old predictor models for both PGA and DP World Tour action this week. All of our content, all of our data, it's completely free of charge. There's no paywall. There's no registration. On X, Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We're also on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, as ever, for those of you who leave a review. I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This is a cracker. It's from Flatfoot Fong. And Flatfoot's in Australia. Entitled, New Dad. Howdy, chaps. Sam Fong from Down Under. I've just had myself a kid, and she's been keeping me up at all hours of the night. Been a blessing having the golf season start, as I've been able to punt on live golf. Keep the agronomy chat coming. It's the only thing getting me through right now. My favourite is Poa Overseed. Flatfoot, thank you for your time. There will be more agronomy chat later on in the pod.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Flatfoot. And congratulations on your new arrival. It does get easier over time, honestly.
But more expensive.
Well, yeah.
I'll have to take your word for it, lads. Congratulations, Flatfoot. Yeah. Bamford is the the Snoop Dogg of golf betting podcasts, right?
Mm. It's all about that Poa Overseed with the ryegrass and the trivialists. It's a Scotty Scheffler favourite.
It is indeed.
Can I also mention, I'm going to set a target, chaps. I wouldn't say we're close. I think we're around 800, getting on for 800. But that five-star button on Spotify is just so easy to press. So if you are listening on Spotify, just have a hunt round. There's a five-star button there for the podcast. Now, if we could get up to 1,000 at the end of 2026, that'd be a decent milestone, I reckon. So if you're on Spotify, just press that five-star button. It's all you have to do. But also, send us in some fresh reviews. Clearly, I will read them out very, very soon. Right. We talked about the Golf Betting System Majors competition last week, Paul, sponsored by Bet365. All I'll say is, rather than go through it again, I'll mention it every couple of weeks. The rules are at the top of the podcast description. So we'll go into some more detail around that next week. But Bet365 are sponsoring it. 2026 Golf Betting System Majors competition. First tee off at the Masters is the deadline. It's a one and done. Plenty of prizes on offer and they're cash. Right, let's talk about last week. You had a playoff, didn't you, on the DP World Tour? Freddie Schott was the eventual winner. Would that be correct, Paul? In a playoff?
Yeah, another dramatic DP World Tour Sunday, wasn't it? But yeah, Freddie Schott, 250 to 1 he was. So if you manage to snare him, then very well done indeed. We talked about
big drivers. Is he a big driver?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he actually led the field for driving distance last week. So you depends how you looked at it, I guess. If you cut it very crudely and said, "Give me an extremely long driver," that's probably about it, really, because there wasn't much form coming in from that either. And yeah, you could have made him onto a shortish list off the back of that. But you know, I've looked through. There were a couple of top tens at lower grade DP World Tour events over the years. That's about it. And I think Barry said on our group chat as the event got going, you know, the incoming form was nothing to get you remotely excited. So, but no. It just shows that you know, every dog can have his day, and he did extremely well to hold his nerve in the end in that playoff. Patrick Reed, I mean, Reed had a couple of chances to, you know, a couple of 6-footers or so coming in the last few holes where he could have won outright again for the second consecutive week, but didn't. Callum Hill will be sorely disappointed from the massive lead that he accumulated after his 61 on Friday, which was an incredible round. And then he made a mess of the playoff as well. So, yeah, Freddie was the last man standing. A little bit disappointing for me because I had Alejandro Del Rey, who was the first round leader or tied for first round in the end with Freddie's shot. And I had high hopes of him because, again, he's the kind of player, that kind of long hitter who would be suited to Bahrain. But he just trod water for 3 days after getting himself into position. So that was the end of that, sadly. Yes, Freddie shot 250-1. Well done if anyone backed him last week.
Over in the States, Justin Rose, his 13th PGA Tour victory, I believe. I've looked back, as you do, statistically. I couldn't find a reason for picking him. But then I don't think Justin Rose is that kind of player anymore. And we've kind of mentioned this on the pod before. He very much picks his targets. And intervening events, he's not overly fussed around. So from a statistics perspective, if you're looking for someone that's trending on a strokes gain basis or whatever number, you're unlikely to pick Rose. I mean, this is something that we might need to bear in mind moving forward, because I think he's a live chance for the Masters. I've said a lot also on the pod, I still genuinely think that he's got potentially an open in him. But what I'm suggesting is, when I look at my strokes gain numbers the week before, the Monday before, I'm not going to see Justin Rose near the top, because it's just not going to happen. You've just got to pick him on trust, I think. I'm just looking here at the his player numbers from last week. And yeah, I couldn't have got anywhere near him. He missed the cut at the American Express the week before.
Yeah, and then missed the previous two cuts at this tournament the last 2 years. But he's amazing. He just goes off into the laboratory and then comes out and just says, like, yep, I'm grabbing a win now, or I'm going to play amazing. And it's, I don't know, for you guys, I can't really see anything being telegraphed out there to indicate this is all going to happen.
It's coming.
All of a sudden. Yeah. No. So,
well, these prices would suggest the same, Barry. Here's the last three prices for Rose. 2023 Pebble, 25-1. Weak field, give you that. 2025 St Jude. That was the first event of last year's FedEx Cup playoffs. 80-1. And this Farmers, 66-1.
I guess
they're not prices you're getting from a top elite player that's trending statistically, yeah, and basically showing a sign that he's going to win.
No, if you dug through his American Express performance, there was
a 63 in there.
Yeah, there was a spiky round in the middle there, 63 in the second round, I think it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, he still missed the cut, didn't he? Yeah, I don't know. You have to try and understand what motivates a 45-year-old Justin Rose. And, you know, in a Ryder Cup year, it could be Ryder Cup. We're not in Ryder Cup year, so it's not that. He's up to third in the world now. So, you know, he's got no chance of catching Scotty, that's for sure. but you know, seemed quite though, buoyed by the fact that he'd made it up to third. You know, is this still a competitive person in there, I guess?
There's an interesting split, though, to show, let's say, a bit of the no-show weeks or the inconsistencies, because he's 21st in data golf. So it do, like the reward for the wins in the OWGR is obviously showing or proving itself there by being third. But
that's right.
Is he just an unbackable player because he's so hard to clip when he is going to go hot?
Well, or flip that on its head, Barry. Is he just a blind backable player where you...
This is what
just,
we're saying.
Yeah.
Good point.
You just go in there and you say, well, is there a reason? Well, yeah, last week, Rose is a previous champion. He's gone in there, whatever reason, he's felt good and he's gone and won the tournament. We've seen over the last a couple of seasons, I guess, at best, where he's upped his game specifically for the major championships and the events that he's wanted to... you know, to perform at for whatever reason. It's just, you're second guessing as to whether that's the right week or not. But even last week going into that, I think he was 10th in the world heading into last week. So if you'd have just crudely ranked the entire field by world ranking and then...
Who's the biggest price? Yeah, it'd have been Justin Rose.
Look to see if there was any conceived, you know, or perceived value. Then, he would have probably stuck out there. So... You're constantly chasing your tail in this game because you can post-analyse and post-rationalise the reasons why you could and should have got to a player. Had he missed the cut, it wouldn't have batted an eyelid, really.
That's the easiest thing about golf punting is figuring out how you should have picked the winner in the post-mortem on the Monday morning review. Yeah. So.
That's the game.
His last three wins on the PGA Tour, Colonial Country Club, Torrey Pines, Pebble Beach, TPC Southwind, Torrey Pines. And he won this exactly the same as he won it when he was world number one in 2019. He basically just blitzed the first two rounds, built up a six-shot lead, and you just know he's going to win. Very, very professionally done. I don't know if he's the sort that will go well two outings on the trot with Pebble Beach in mind next week. First signature event.
Yeah.
Clearly he likes it there. He won there in 23.
Mm.
So that's going to be on punters' minds. I don't want to rush you this like we did last week, Paul. So anything else to mention from last week? Or should we move on to this week's tournaments?
No, I think we're all good. I think we're all good, yeah. Just hope for a slight change of luck. Although, well done for getting Jake Knapp into your... into the paying places in the end. You had a fair few players who were kind of dotted around the peripheries of the each way places all the way through Sunday.
Nikolai.
Yeah.
Mm. It'd have been cruel to get nothing. I think I had two in the last four groups on Sunday, or it was two in the last three, something like that.
Mm.
Sahith jumped up there for me, got into the places.
He did, yeah.
He did, yeah, well done.
I take it you're on him again this week, Barry, but I'm jumping here. I'm jumping.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, yeah. Ride the hot hand.
Oh, sorry. I've gone on to the basis that you've actually thought about this before we started recording the podcast, so I apologise for that.
If I start to... Yeah, that's majors only.
Yeah. Right, okay. So Waste Management, although they're now calling it the WM Phoenix Open. For regulars, this is clearly we don't need to paint much of a picture here, but this is the content you're going to get all this week on your social media accounts. You're going to get the thousands of fans standing behind a line at 4 a.m, all floodlit, pitch dark, and they all start sprinting to the 16th stadium hole. It's a great fun event. I mean, I love it. I'd like to see more events like this. I think golf would be far more popular if they did more events like this rather than people clapping triple bogeys at Wentworth, which is what we tend to get over here. But stadium course, TPC Scottsdale in Arizona. It's a Tom Weisskopf design. I classify it as desert. There's a surprise. Mid score, I reckon around about 20 under wins this, maybe 21. Depends how spicy they make the greens, which I was slightly disappointed last week, Barry, at Torrey Pines. I was expecting something less receptive on the greens, but we didn't get it.
Yeah, a little bit similar vibe. The commentators kept trying to pump it up. They're like, oh, they're making it sound like a cart path. I was like, stop gaslighting us, please.
I didn't see a lot of that with balls just stopping with wedges. I think that's a bit of, they seem more than responsive enough to me. This week, altitude golf we're dealing with. And it's a short golf course. I mean, it's 7,261 yards. It's a par 71 and it's at altitude. So really, it's playing kind of 6'6", 6'7", something like that. So this is not a long golf course at all. It's also a wide golf course. From the greenkeeper's sheet this week that came through yesterday, we're dealing with a course here that's got 38-yard wide fairways. Now, compare that to Torrey Pines last week on the south course that's 7,800 yards. They were 24 to 27. So we're actually dealing with a course that's got 10-yard wider fairways and it's like 1,000 yards shorter. Compare and contrast, really. Now, here's the agronomy, just for you agronomy nuts out there. Fairways, Bermuda grass with perennial rye and fine fescue. The rough's exactly the same, 2 inches in length. It never gets juicy here because they don't get a lot of rain, simple as that. Greens, 7,069 square feet. They're pretty chunky. Tiff Eagle Bermuda, but overseeded with Poa Trivialis and bent grass. I think there's a little bit of rye in there as well, actually. So you've got Poa, rye and bent. Very exotic mix, which you don't tend to get on many courses. So that's where we're at in terms of the agronomy. Winning scores here. Dietrich won this last year, now at LIV. He won this at a 24 under par, which is pretty mad. Because I believe he won by 7 or was it 8? I think the next on was 17 under. So that's domination. Mm. I mean, it's normally a close finish here. Yeah, he won at 24 under par. Berger and Michael Kim were then at 17 under. So that's a dominant performance from Thomas Dietrich, who took his PGA Tour maiden victory. Before that, Nick Taylor, 21 under. That's kind of, I think, where we're going to be. 2023, Scotty Scheffler. 2022, Scotty Scheffler. 2021, Brooks Koepka. 2020, this is when he was good, Webb Simpson. 2019, Ricky Fowler. And I'll go back to 2018 just because clearly he's a friend of the podcast, certainly a friend of Barry's, Gary Woodland. He won at 18 under. So desert golf, conditions this week, pretty perfect. Warmer than last year, calmer than last year. The only defence I can really see would be the speed of the greens. They've actually had more rain on the build up to this than they normally do. So yeah, maybe that 22, 23 under par is kind of where we need to be aiming at. It does seem the kind of track that can separate a little like Rose did last year. You might be able to see where I'm heading here, you know, talking about separation and the players in the field. It's a rare betting market, Paul, that you get a favourite that's 11 to 4. And the next player in the betting market is 20 to 1 or 22 to 1.
Yeah, it's and being backed in quite heavily overnight from what I can see. There's
Who's Scotty, yeah?
Scotty's just, yeah.
I mean, you've got... I don't know. You've got 23 to 10 with Bet365. I'm just looking at the general market. Cam Young, Siwoo Kim. I mean, Siwoo Kim is piling up these top 10 finishes, top fives, isn't he? Look at his history, though. He doesn't tend to win from there. He'll win from something like 39th or a miscut. Xander's playing. He missed the cut last week. Cam Young, I think he's had a top five here in the past. And then you've got your perennial Phoenix two-time winner Hideki Matsuyama. McNeely. I mean, by the time we get to McNeely, and we talked about this last week on the pod, about him staring down Scotty Scheffler, Maverick McNeely, good luck with that. 33-1, McNeely, Sam Burns, Ben Griffin. So it's just... I've done this before. I've just gone insurance policy, Scotty Scheffler to win this. The number that grabbed me, Paul, is on your fantastic Scottsdale analysis, available via the homepage for listeners, golfbettingsystem.co.uk. Scotty Scheffler at TPC Scottsdale, 22 rounds. He averages 2.6 strokes gained per round. Now, to put that into context, Xander sits second in the ranking. He's at 2.3. And then we're down to anyone that's got more than four rounds. So Hideki Matsuyama, he averages 1.81 strokes gained per round.
Yeah.
So by my crude maths, that's almost 0.75 point per round that Scotty Scheffler is better than the third best player around here. Mm. That's madness. But that's Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, it is. And we touched on it last week, where if you get a tournament where the conditions are, or the conditions contain less variables, and you're going to get that this week. It's, you've described it, or do describe it as playing golf in a dome, and it's almost that level. And when there's nothing else there to really influence whether a player plays well or not, and take some of the oddities that can occur in golf out of the equation, then Scotty just comes to the fore. I can see why you've backed him. I can see why he is continuing to be backed this morning. And as a punter, you've got the dilemma as to whether you go down that route and just be done with it, or whether you try and find a market that either excludes Scotty or some other way of playing it this week.
This was the other thing that grabbed me. So I looked at your fantastic strokes gain stats for TPC Scottsdale. But also, he's currently 3-1 to win the Masters. And lots of operators out there are shorter than 3-1. You're just like, wow. It's just crazy, really.
Mm. That's where
also, scarily, just looking at my strokes gain rankings over the last 8 events, the number that really grabbed me, he ranks second in this field for putting. And that's the weakness.
Yeah, allegedly.
So anyway, that's Scheffler. He's done. He's in. I got 9-4, was it, Paul? I got better than that, didn't I, in the end?
12-5. You got an enhanced price from memory. Yeah.
Which I think is the price I got on him at the BMW in a 70-man field.
Mm.
Other angles in. Now, of course, as you said, Paul, you could go without Scotty. There will be without Scottish markets, so that's definitely an angle. When I'm pulling all this together, there's nothing like that available. So, other players I'm looking for here, there seems to be something around world ranking in the sort of 11 to 15 zone. A lot of winners here, either at that kind of position or around the sort of 50s, fighting for Masters places, that kind of spot. But also, just looking from a price perspective, last few winners here have been pretty juicy. So we had Dietrich last year was 100-1. Nick Taylor the year before that, who was in a head-to-head with Scotty Scheffler and Charlie Hoffman from memory. I think Andrew Novak was involved as well. He was 100-1 as well. Scheffler 16, 30-1 the first time he won. I was on him in 22. Brooks Koepka, he won here with absolutely no form whatsoever. I think it was 3 straight missed cuts. He won here at 50-1 in 21. So 50-1, 100-1 and 100-1 surrounding Scotty Scheffler there in terms of winning prices. So there could be a chance here if you go deeper into the field, in my opinion. And don't forget, I mentioned this last week, Rose added to this trend of quite juicy winners since the Wyndham. 66-1, 80-1, 80-1. Brennan 125, Schenk 125, Falamaki 66. Got her up 50s, Rose 66s. So they're the price points that have been winning on the PGA Tour, apart from Scheffler 9-1 favourite and 11-4 favourite, Schauffele 10-1 favourite, Ben Griffin 12-1 joint favourite. That's your winners since August in full field events. Right. I've therefore gone for a mixture. I'll start with a first and I'll come to you guys where you're pitching your 10. Wasn't overly enamoured with the price, but you know me, I love eight places each way. That's what, kind of what I stick to. Bet 365 each way extra. I took 1.5 points each way on Harris English. The numbers that grabbed me last week, he was 8th for off the tee, 6th for approach, 13th for tee to green. And it was his driving. He was 4th for driving accuracy and 12th for total driving. 7th for ball striking. And English, when you look at his record, he is a guy that can win on the tour. 5 PGA Tour victories. 2 of them on the West Coast swing. He's not immune to winning on Bermuda grass. A couple on Bermuda. I remember him winning Kapalua starting a season a few years ago. So I took English, 33-1, bet 365. He's in reasonable nick. Top 25 of my current form metric. 47th at the RSM, 8th at the Hero, 27th at the Amex, and 22nd last week when defending his Farmers title. So I think he's in good nick. He's had a 9th, a 3rd, and last time he was here, 17th last year at Scottsdale. Right, I'm out to 55s then. So, Paul, are you shorter than 55s on anybody?
Yeah, I've only actually backed 2 so far this week. It's a bit of a smelly week, isn't it, with Scotty there, because you've got to decide what to do. I haven't found one yet. So if listeners, particularly listeners on YouTube, if you find a Scotty to win by, excuse me, like 6 strokes kind of market, then do post it on there in the comments so we can take a look. That feels to me the only way I'd potentially want to play Scotty, because I think given what we've seen of him so far this year from his one outing, his performances here in the past, and as you say, what happened last year with Detry as well, there can be separation. So potentially finding an extreme market for Scotty could be the one. I've backed 1 lower prices, which is Hideki. I've stuck with Hideki. I was on him last week.
I knew you'd go for Hideki. Yeah. I just knew it.
He really did frustrate me last week.
He's playing well though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is playing well.
It's just finding that putter as ever.
There were just so many short, super short putts that were missed, and he makes those. He's never winning. He's never catching Justin Rose. I get that, but I had him 8 places last week, and he finished tied 11th in the end.
So don't worry about it, Paul. It'll be okay. Last week was tough for short putts.
Yeah, I get it. But historically, he has putted reasonably well or better than the average there. So I did have some hope that he would actually make a few, but he didn't. But then he's coming to a course this week where he's won twice, a couple more top fours. And, you know, for me, if there is a player who could, on his day, with a flying Sunday as is his wont, then, you know, if there is a player who could beat Scotty, then Hideki is the one in that field for me who's got that chance. There's not many others that I could, hand on heart, say, you know, in a showdown, will he or can he beat Scotty Scheffler in his current form? So yeah, Hideki's the only one at that price. I've got one far, far deeper, big three-figure number, which we can go through a little bit later.
Not that you need defending, but he was the one I stared at, really stared at Hideki, because, you know, I love Hideki, so. It's interesting, you'd never have said this 4 or 5 years ago. 3 wins now on Bermuda grass. Sony Open, Southwind, Kapalua. You know, always it was bent grass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Absolute bent grass phenom.
Yeah, he's adapted and improved. It's, you know, he's a more rounded player in that respect nowadays.
Where are you chiming in, Barry?
Well, thanks for giving me time to do my research. I am going to back Sahith Theegala again. there's a lot of good things going for him. He's seventh in the strokes gained for the course. Mm. A couple of top, coming off the back of a couple of top tens. I don't think I need a whole lot more convincing than that. So I am locking him in for the week.
I'd be surprised not to see him in the mix.
I mean, listen, I'll be asking for a refund if he's not. I think I might also go Knapp again. He's like a 28th and a 44th here the last couple of outings, so it doesn't massively inspire confidence, but he's coming off an 11th and a 5th last week. He is number one in your strokes gained putting, so for the recent 8 weeks tracker, so I think I'm just going to stick with him.
Putting lights out. You do, just to go into this, you do need a decent putter this week. I'm just looking at the strokes gained analysis here. From Koepka through to Dietrich, 61% tee to green, 39% strokes gained putting. That's the kind of split we saw at Torrey Pines. It's slightly more than the split of the Amex and a hell of a lot more than what we saw at Sony Open. I mean, you've got 3, 6.5, 4.2. Nick Taylor won with 9 points. 9 points or 9 strokes putting. That's mad. And so did Dietrich, 8.4. So, yeah. Hot putters here, your Jordan Spieth sorts that can make big 30 footers. You do see a lot of good putters in the mix here. So I've gone Nick Taylor. I've got a point each way, 55-1 with Ladbrokes, 10 places each way on Nick Taylor. Second here, one here in the last 3 years. The sort, I was on him at the Amex, played okay. He was top 27, something like that. That's not really his... I don't know. For some reason, he doesn't quite get on there. But here, he's turned driving more into a strength, Taylor. He's a phenomenal putter. So he could go extremely well, Taylor. Boo and hiss me. I've gone for Daniel Berger, a point each way, 55-1 with Ladbrokes again, 10 places each way. Berger, he was second here last year. We've seen with Berger, he just does have courses that he continually goes well at. Remember when he literally got his maiden, then the year after won again at Southwind? He's a winner at Pebble, a winner at Colonial. Short courses, likes it out west, decent enough on Bermuda grass. So I could see Berger going well at 55-1. And then my last... Now, I came out relatively, well, I'd say early. The only bookmaker that was left to show their prices were Betfred. Couldn't wait any longer. Getting bored. Paul pressed the go button. I got 8 places each way on Novak at 75-1 with Bet365. Betfred came out 100-1 in their 5 place market. You could have got 90-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way. Andrew Novak. There's just something about Novak. He won... the Grant Thornton at the end of last year. He's the 17th highest ranked player in terms of world rankings in this. And you're out in the 80s, 90s, 100-1. And as we said, the last two winners have been 100-1 best price of this. So Novak's right in that kind of corridor that I like. He was 8th here 2 years ago and he was right in the hunt on Sunday. His only win, which was a shared win with Ben Griffin, come on Bermuda grass greens with Poa Trivilis Overseas down in TPC Louisiana. So yeah, I like Novak. Also, can be a very spiky putter. So I've got Novak, Berger, Taylor, English, Scotty Scheffler. Paul, your additional selection, please.
Yeah, the other one I backed is Adam Schenk at 500-1. And the reason for that is you've got a guy here who has won as recently as November. He won the Bermuda Championship back in November. And I think he's just been disrespected in this market. 3 missed cuts followed that, but he was 11th last week. And the long game looked back on Song, 5th for strokes gained approach, 12th for strokes gained tee to green. And he comes in here with 3 successive top 25 finishes at Scottsdale. Ninth into the weekend in 2023. Closed with a 65 in 2024. And he was 12th heading into the weekend last year. So he's played some really nice golf here over the last three seasons. And if that collides with a progression from last week's 11th place finish, then he could find himself in and around those each way places, which at 500-1, that was with the bog standard each way terms, but you know, you can fish around the markets as you please to get the right combination of each way prices and terms to appease your betting strategy. But yeah, I thought Shank was worth taking a chance on, so he's the only other one that I've backed. The one that keeps niggling me is Tom Kim. And I know Tom Kim's been off the boil for a while now, but 250-1's been dangled out there.
Some of these prices are mad, aren't they? Yeah. Brian Harman, 200-1. Fox, 200-1. Nico Echeverria, I mean, he can win from nowhere. 225s. Tom Kim, 250s. That's mad.
It is, and it's
Billy Horschel, 250.
Yeah, there's players that wouldn't surprise you to see have a decent week. Just, you know, not completely. It's not as if Tom Kim's missing every single cut. He's still, you know, he's still finishing the right side of the cut line. He's just not doing much with it. But that can improve. He's far better than that. But yeah, whether that
he was far better than that.
Yeah, we'll find it.
I think this is this just a. Is this just a factor of the fields getting a bit stronger now as the season's getting a bit of momentum? You're just going to have some players that have recognisable names at absurd odds.
Yeah, potentially.
There's a lot of elite name players that are struggling at the moment, aren't they? Tony Finau is another one.
Well, he was better last week.
He made a hole in one. All good. That'll turn it around.
Tony's okay too and needs to make a putt.
Yeah, he was much better last week, though.
Yeah, it is his favourite course in the world, though.
Hmm. Yeah.
There are a lot of name players that are deep down in markets these days. But then you've got the likes of the new brigade, like your Matt McCartys and Pearson Coodys. You've got this strange mix at the moment in these betting markets of new, young, fresh talent and big names that are struggling. It's interesting. Where are you going to pitch in then, Barry? Any more?
I'm kind of set with Tigala and Knapp for the nobody else is popping right now.
Oh, I always try and find that big price 200. Are we confirmed that Max Home has broken? Because I did see your WhatsApp message. He does appear broken, doesn't he?
I didn't say bro, I just said he's not fully mended yet.
No, he's not mended. Is he mending at all, or?
It's that's a good question. If I knew that, I'd be able to comment on it. It's good. It's good to watch. It's interesting to watch. You know, the battle back. It's kind of not quite Stenson levels, but you know, his game fell off quite significantly, and he came back and ended up winning the Open. But like, it's that. Makes it more interesting and intriguing as a viewer to watch somebody who had just had so much success so long, you know, in the not too distant past. Game just melts away from him because it's golf, and now watching him, can he get it right back up there? That's an interesting story to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just playing with the predictor model quickly because my gut feel. I keep seeing Johnny Kiefer just absolutely pounding greens. And this is the golf course of any where greens in regulation is king. So Johnny Kiefer sitting there at, where are we seeing him?
Why did he get struck off your list? Because he's 51st in the OWGR, Steve.
No experience of the course, rookie. But this is why I'm highlighting him. I mean, I'm seeing him here at prices. You can get him eight places each way with someone like Betfred at 110-1. You could probably get him at 125s, eight places with Bet365 there, each way extra facility. But a golf course where greens in regulation is critical, this guy literally pounds greens. When he gets on the greens, he doesn't make many putts, but he's a talented sort, clearly. He's already in the Augusta field just from his Corn Ferry exploits, isn't he, from last year? He's that kind of player. But I would not be surprised to see Johnny Kiefer appear near the top page of a leaderboard at some point. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's move on to Qatar, Paul. We seem to be commercial bankless this year, so the Qatar Masters, take it away.
Yeah, I did notice that as well. It's they had sponsored the Qatar Masters for years, didn't they, Commercial Bank? But it appears to have dropped off the sponsorship. So yes, perhaps they've run out of money or something. not great for a bank. Anyway, final week in the Middle East this week until much later in the season, as we know, with the season-ending playoffs when we go to Abu Dhabi and then to the Earth course. Now, most of the Bahrain field from last week have hung around for another week, so it's very similar. It's almost a carbon copy betting market to last week that we're being presented with. Jaden Shaper is the marginal favourite, depends how you or where you place your bets, but overall marginal favourite at 12-1. Daniel Hilliard is a little bit of 14s. Angel Ayora 16-1, backed him last week and his putting was even worse than Hideki's, so he's on a leave alone list for the time being, Ayora. Patrick Reed, 16-1. Patrick Reed, as I say, could have won two back-to-back DP World Tour events to celebrate his move away from LIV, and he's going to be a force to be reckoned with on the DP World Tour this year. If he carries on playing, which is what he's said he intends to do. 16-1, Patrick Reed. Matt Wallace, 22-1. Oliver Lindell, 28-1 and 33-1 bar those players. Now, it is a regular DP World Tour event, so we're getting regular DP World Tour each way terms. So that means seven places each way from Coral and Ladbrokes and some extended markets if you dig through, available from both Betfred and Bet365, but certainly not the standard each way terms that we get treated to on the PGA Tour, should I say. So do shop about. There's plenty to dig into if you go to some of the extended markets, say, particularly with Fred and with 365. Now, the venue, we are at the Doha Golf Club in Qatar. We've been coming here since 1998, with the exception of 2020 and 2021. Now, those two events were played at Education City. So if you're using the stats pages on the site this week, the Combi stats or the event stats, then do take note of those 2 years. It is noted on the page. There's plenty of history to work with nonetheless, so lots to get your teeth into this week in terms of Doha history. It's a 7,508-yard par 72, typically exposed desert course, conventional layout with four par fives and a drivable par four. That's the 16th hole. Now, for me, the par threes tend to be the toughest part of the course, which kind of gives us a little bit of a clue as to the type of player that can go well here in terms of iron play. Paspalum grass has been used on the greens again this week, as per last week in Bahrain. So those who putted well last week may enjoy this week too. Hence the reason why I won't be back in Angel Ayora this week. Now, in terms of winners, if we go back, well, let's start with those two events at Education City, just for context. They were won by Jorge Campillo, 125-1 back in 2020, and then Antoine Rosner at 22s the year after. So since 2022, we've been back here at Doha. Ewan Ferguson, 150-1. Sami Valimaki 80-1. 2024 was Rikuya Hoshino at 45s. And then last year was Haotong Lee at 50-1. Now, Haotong isn't defending this week because he is out in the US nowadays, plying his trade over on the PGA Tour. So one of those rare weeks where we don't have a defending champion on either of the events. But that's where we are. Haotong Lee, 50-1. Yeah, I do remember that being quite a sore one last year because I do back or have backed Haotong Lee an awful lot. So to have missed him last year was a little galling from memory. Winning scores, 16 under last year, 14 under, 18 under the last three, and then 7 under for Ewan Ferguson back in 2022. So that does show you that when the wind blows around here, it can be a tough test. It almost turns into a links-like test, actually. And there are often good form lines you can draw between the links tests on the DP World Tour and Qatar. Certainly, when I do my analysis for the likes of the Scottish Open and the Open Championship later in the year, I do have more than a cursory glance at the results of the Qatar Masters just to see who went well, because that can be a little bit of an indication as to who might perform. Now, in terms of wind this year, well, we've got a breezy Thursday, 10 to 15 miles an hour standard, gusting to 20, maybe a little bit above. So I suspect Thursday will be reasonably challenging. There's a hint of a breeze on Sunday, but other than that, it's quite placid. So if I'm going to pin again a number on the winning score, I suspect it will be towards the top end of those numbers I read through. So somewhere in the 16 to 18 under region would be where I'd pitch my tent, I think, this week. Statistically, a bit of length of the tee doesn't hurt here. Generally, a good all-round game is the order of the day. Maybe a slight bias towards hitting greens and scrambling. Birdies aren't that easy to come by here. The par fives, yes, I get that. The short par four, 16th. But other than that, the rest of the course is quite challenging. So you need to make birdies as and when is possible, and then just hang on with some good scrambling when greens are missed on the rest of the course. So bogey avoidance isn't a bad shout either. From a strokes gained perspective, the last three winners were third, third and second for strokes gained approach, and second, 11th and second for strokes gained tee to green. So it does come down to a kind of an iron play game is probably the best way to describe it. The putter is a little bit more important this week than we had suggested last week. The last four winners, 6th, 16th, 2nd and 4th for strokes gained putting. So you need to be in and around the best strokes gained putters on the week to win here as well. Other than that, well, form-wise, if you go back to 2010 here at Doha, every winner had a top 10 finish in one of their last seven starts. So a smattering of form is a good place to start. Course form's a little patchier though. Ferguson, he was a debutant. Valimaki and Hoshino, both of them had top 40s here, but nothing better. Haotong Lee had missed the cut on his previous attempts at Doha and then finished 16th the year before. So had evidently got his head around it a little bit before winning last year. To balance that, you've got the likes of Brandon Grace and Sergio Garcia, who did have really strong records here prior to winning. So a bit of a mixed bag. Good to see. I'm not sure that's the sentiment I want to get across, but it was interesting to see Sergio Garcia in the mix last week, actually. Bahrain. So for those of you who do bet on live golf, perhaps one to keep an eye on compatible courses. Steve, you're going to start suggesting he's going to be a live runner for the Masters again before we know it.
I think he might be in my Adam Scott never back at a major bucket.
Oh, don't blame him. I've backed four this week. I've got three at mid prices and a longer one. So let me go through the mids and I'll bring you boys in, and then we'll finish off with the long price. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the winners tend to come from the mid pack or deeper here. That's certainly borne out by the winning prices in previous years at both venues, actually. Now, I've swerved the top of the market, and the first one that I have backed is Grant Forrest at 40-1. Now, Doha does have some links-like qualities, as I've suggested, and Forrest is great on that sort of terrain. He won for us back at the Nexo Championship in the summer at Trump Aberdeen. That was really impressive that week. He also won at Fairmont St Andrews before that for his breakthrough maiden title on the DP World Tour. So he's got some form on linksy courses. He's made three of four cuts here without contending, but he comes into this with some decent form. He was ninth to halfway the Dubai Invitational, 12th after day one at the Emirates for the Dubai Desert Classic, and then he was seventh overall last week in Bahrain. And that included a double bogey on the last. Now, if he flips out on his head and gets a birdie at the last, and that gets him into a playoff, that's how close Grant Forrest was last week. Fifth for strokes gained off the tee, ninth for tee to green, second for greens in regulation, which I think is key coming into this. He also led the field for par three scoring last week, which is a big tick in the box from my perspective going into the tough par three here at Doha. Got a really good chance, I think, Grant Forrest, and I was pleased to see him in that kind of mid-pack section below the favourites this week in the betting. So quite happy to go with Grant Forrest. Same price, I've also backed Jorge Campillo, who won this title at Education City back in 2020, as I mentioned a few moments ago. That was the second of his three titles so far on tour, so he's well capable of getting over the line. Great record here at Doha too. He was second before the event moved to Education City, and then lost a playoff here in 2023. He was fifth in 2024 before he jetted off to use his PGA Tour card that he'd won from his performances back in 2023. So he evidently enjoys his visits to this part of the world, whether it's Doha or Education City, just Qatar in general by the looks of it. And playing some decent stuff too. Solid form to end 2025. He was 23rd in both the Nedbank and the Alfred Dunhill Championship before Christmas. And then 19th at the Dubai Desert Classic and 16th last week in Bahrain. And in both instances, he was far closer heading into the final round. He hasn't quite found that Sunday round to finish off and get a really lofty finish over the last few starts. Perhaps that changes now that he's back in Qatar and in a part of the world where he's excelled in the past. Now, the other one I've backed a little bit deeper is Nathan Kimsey at 85-1. He's got progressive form coming into this. 32nd at the Alfred Dunhill, 25th in Mauritius, and 9th last week in Bahrain. And that effort last week, that came after an opening round of 72. He was 81st, I think, heading into the second day. So he really was battling to make the cut. Went on to shoot 65, 69, 69. That was the third best 54-hole scoring record on display behind just Patrick Reed and Sergio Garcia. So up there for his final three rounds for sure. Couple of wins on the Challenge Tour, including the Grand Final in 2022. He had a chance to earn himself a PGA Tour card, you may recall, back in 2023. He lost a playoff at the Barbasol Championship when it was co-sanctioned with the PGA Tour. Lost to Vincent Norman. I think that was the year you were on, Norman, Steve. I know. I'm remembering.
Vincent Norman.
Yeah. Mm. And, so the guy he picked was this Nathan Kimsey that particular week. His first European Tour event, as it was back in the day, first European Tour top 10 came here at Doha back in 2017. Now, that was when he was just adjusting to life at this level. So it was quite eye-opening to see him finish top 10, because if you look at the results around it, it's just a sea of missed cuts. So something that I think he found he liked here, first time back for what, 9 years this week, coming into this off the back of a top 10, I think he's got a chance, Nathan Kimsey. So yeah, backed him at 85s. Now I've got one more 400-1, which I'll go through in a sec, but let's bring you boys in first, see if you've got any nuggets for this week. Steve, about you, have you backed anyone this week?
I've had one bet, Oliver Lindell, 30-1, Betfred 8 place each way.
Yep, been playing some decent stuff, Lindell, for sure.
When you look at the strokes gain numbers you pulled together for Doha, he's ranking, I know he's played there once, he's ranking first for approach, fifth for tee to green, and sixth in the field for ball striking. Couldn't putt. And it's just interesting with Lindell, if you look at his recent appearances, i.e. Dubai, Dubai Desert and Bahrain, he's actually putted positively across all three of those. So you're just hoping that the putter stays good and that he can show a liking to the course like he did on debut. So yeah, Oliver Lindell, he's a progressive sort, isn't he?
Yeah, well capable, and you'd like to think there's a win quite possibly coming sooner rather than later. So, and that's reflected in where he is in the market, and he's not there by chance. He's there because the bookies are giving him the respect that he deserves. So
he's due a serious contend soon, I'd suggest. So hopefully it's this week.
Quite possible.
That's my one bet.
So that's you, Steve. Barry, any interest from you this week in Qatar?
I think I'm going to stick with Couvre, another Frenchman with the COU start to his name, finished sixth, Hugo Cousseau. So that was a bit annoying picking the wrong one. But yeah, nothing to make me just leave Couvre by the wayside. So he had a good week putting last week. So hopefully with the greens being the same type of grass, we can he can improve the approach game. Kind of merge the two of them up together. Steve, I arrived at Lindell as well, so we're doomed together, but at least we'll have company on the sinking ship.
I look forward to the Thursday WhatsApp message.
Oh, it'll be fine. I mean, listen, fastest finger first. And I've won more. It's not 400-1, Paul. So, yeah, you've really crushed the super long odds this week. I go with Anthony Quayle. So just a bit of putting last week caught my eye. He was in the top 20 for that. He's got some pretty good distance off the tee to kind of get himself involved this week. So I just wanted to kind of have a triple figure golfer who has a little bit about him. And kind of picked, I took the maximum places, 12 places. 110s on Bet365.
Yeah, interesting with Quayle, because he, not particularly this week, but certainly popped up in my analysis last week, and I can't say I was particularly close to picking him, but certainly caught the eye on a few bits. So, yeah, interesting to see how he goes, and another one that could be followed as we get further into the season. The other guy that I've backed is Chris Wood at 400-1. And there's still a little bit of 400s out there as we record this at 8:40 on Tuesday morning over here in the UK. Now, Chris Wood, 2013 winner here. That was the first of three titles. I'm sure you remember he won the BMW PGA Championship in 2016 at Wentworth, which was a huge victory for him, but he was quite the player back in the day. 10 years on, injury issues, he's had some mental health challenges as well, lost his form, lost all of his playing rights, so disappeared completely from sight in terms of professional golf. And by all accounts, he was extremely close to retiring. I mean, bear in mind, Chris Wood's only 38 now, so that's in the context of golfers, there's still a bit of mileage in there. 45 years old, Justin Rose last week, and he's still tearing it up on the PGA Tour. So Chris Wood at the age of 38, perhaps there's a little bit left in the tank still. Now, he chanced his arm on the Middle East North Africa Tour, the MENA Tour, And he won in December over there. He won again just over a week ago. So a couple of victories in the last few weeks. Now, it would be something of a fairy tale if he were to win this. For me, sport, professional sport's all about fairy tales. So, you know, perhaps he gets himself in the mix this week. He's playing on previous champion category this week. So he's not going to get a great deal of starts. Should he get a top 10 here, you know, opens the door for further starts down the line, and, you know, perhaps he can rejuvenate something of a career at a higher level. Those victories recently have got to be taken into context because, yes, they're on the Middle East tour, which is a fair few rungs down from this. But, you know, success breeds confidence, and with confidence you can find players that will just pop up, particularly on an event and a course where he's previously won back in the day. So Chris Wood 400-1, and happy to see how he goes, happy to pay to find out from an each way perspective if he can rekindle some of that old magic. We shall see. So Chris Wood, Nathan Kimsey, Jorge Campillo and Grant Forrest are my four this week in Qatar. And that's me, Stephen.
I think that's us. I hope your bets go well, champs.
Yeah, best luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. If you've made it this far you're listening, watching on YouTube, please hit that like button. Drop us a comment. That helps the algorithm. Also, five-star button on Spotify. That'd be fantastic. We'll be back next week. I believe we've got the first signature event on the PGA Tour of 2026, which is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I think you've got the week off, Paul. Is that correct?
Yeah, this one of those between continents weeks, yeah, by all accounts. So, yeah, we're off to South Africa for a few events the week after. But, yeah, nothing in the diary for next week.
Pebble Beach it is. See you soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved. With all the stats and the tips and so much more. Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf.